Hey guys, welcome to Aussie Mac Zone, show number 67, full of your Aussie Mac news this week. And exciting news, isn't there, Michael? Two more sleeps and there'll be new Apple goodies.
Yes, let's hope so. They must be trying to sell something. So.
Absolutely. So I guess that's predicted after last week's show. Saw the invites go out shortly after for an event on Thursday, the 16th of October. And not too many secrets given away with the invites this time. There's a little bit of speculation, but I don't think anything that really captured what's going to be there. But we do know there'll be iPads. It's the time of the year for iPads. So I guess will we see the big one? Will we see Touch ID? Will we see the A8 processor? That's all to be answered. Will there be a new Mac Mini? Will there be iMac.
iMac.
With Retina? What if it was none of that and they just pulled the covers off an Apple TV? How about that?
Well, it's been far too long. So we just, could be anything, couldn't it?
It could be.
Might be just another 128K Mac that they've put together and said, here you go.
A bit of retro.
Yeah. It's, interesting times ahead. It's, I can't see there being much Sapphire and whatever they're releasing, but going on there.
They'd certainly have to crank up the Sapphire factory, though, for a 27-inch iMac, wouldn't they, if they're going to make that out of Sapphire? You tend to think not so many scratch problems with the 27-inch iMac, though. It probably wouldn't bend so much if you managed to get it into your pocket, not so much as a 6 Plus. And, of course, all that silly business came and went pretty quickly, didn't it?
It did. I was laughing about it today, actually, because I've been working on some MacBook Airs where people have unfortunately sat on them or dropped them, and they actually bend. Funny about that, around the USB slot too. It's just
yeah, I guess where you've got that weak point. Because yeah. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? It's sort of milled out of a single piece of aluminium.
Aluminium, yeah. So yeah, I was just. We're going through them today and went, oh, look, they're all bent. Oh, no, Bendgate.
Yeah, so don't put your MacBook Air in your back pocket either.
No.
Certainly don't sit on it.
Don't sit on it.
That's or drive right. Your car over it.
We've None of the above. Of yeah. Well.
That's right.
But, yes, hopefully they'll announce Yosemite for us to start using straight away. I can't wait, to be honest.
Yeah, with iOS 8, that's going to be pretty nice to have all that finally working together. And, hardware, as you say, it could be a lot. It could be a few things. I mean, it's as rumors stand, you know, it can be as little as, well, the iPads will just get a bump with some Touch ID right up to with, you know, 2 gig of memory, A8 processors, 12.9-inch screens, you know, all kinds of things happening there.
Maybe they're just going to put it all off till after Christmas, and it's been far too long since we've made you wait for anything. So,
well, it was that way with the Mac Pro, wasn't it?
Yes. So, but, yeah, it's something to look forward to. I am looking forward to it. I'll be up first thing in the morning to... 3 o'clock our time or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, and obviously while we won't get a chance to cover that until next Tuesday, the guys on Aussie Tech Heads will obviously cover that Thursday night.
It's Thursday. It's Friday morning.
Friday morning our time, isn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've missed that too. We get to go first again.
Oh, we do. Well, that's okay then.
And don't forget to keep looking at Aussie Mac Zone News. Especially that morning when you get
that's
up.
That's right. Friday morning. That will be the morning.
A few tidbits for you going there. So,
yes, well, that should be something worth getting up for, and certainly some Christmas stocking fillers, we would think.
Yes. Yes.
So much happier than the people in Finland at the moment.
Yeah. Having another go at Apple.
Well, the Prime Minister's done that before, hasn't he? And apparently It's all Apple's fault with their mobile phones and also their paper. So they've both knocked off Nokia, that's their iPhone's fault, and they obviously were into milling and producing paper, and that's the iPad's fault that people don't use paper anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Easy to pick on someone. Yeah. It's funny how he said it twice now. He must really feel it in his heart that that's the reason.
Maybe there's an election coming up. He's might need someone to blame. They did get their debt rating downgraded as well. So maybe to try to take a little attention off of that.
Yeah, just it astounds me that he thinks he's got the right to say it. Because the iPhone really challenged the high end phone market and not the low end little margin machines that Nokia was even targeting back in 2007. Yeah, you know, they like selling millions and millions of phones, but only make a dollar each on them. How are they ever going to survive anyway? As the world was changing, newspapers of sales have been in a big decline for 14 years, and the iPad's only 4.5 years old. So, it's just.
I guess it's one of those sound bites, isn't it? That Apple's a popular vendor, so it probably takes some of the attention off of him, but. It's interesting with Nokia as to what's going to happen with them, because I really am not sure what Microsoft are up to now. It's a little unclear as to what they're, well, it's probably a little unclear as to why they bought them in the first place, yes. Let alone with the change at the top, what's actually going to, you know, happen with, are they even going to be in the mobile phone market anyway, with an operating system? That's, that may even be questionable after, you know, sort of announcements that have been happening over the last few weeks.
Yeah. But don't with Nokia, don't they still not the Microsoft part, not the handset part, they're still making network switches and things? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, I think they did make carrier gear and stuff like that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Obviously that's quite a niche market. And I imagine, like everything, it's probably, you know, under precious, you know, technology moves on, and you know, if you think a lot of Cisco's and things like that, you know, it's getting knockoff producers doing it, you know, out of China and that. So you but know, with you know,
they're not allowed to use them in the States, are they? Like, you know, you can't use Huawei switches and thing, you know, equipment in the States because of the security, like in that sort of environment for the security.
There has been some discussion around that, and I think Australia too came out with that, didn't they? That was a manufacturer that was banned, but I'm not sure that they realise where the other brands are actually made, or even if not assembled, you know, in China or, you know, some countries like, you know, that they might be concerned around, that the chipsets and chips come from there. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's all a little bit of fun and games there.
And also, which I haven't checked in the news, was the European Union trying to close those tax threshold zones that Ireland's had for a few years, and Luxembourg and somewhere else.
Is that Netherlands or something? Because it was some Dutch sandwich type of thing.
Yeah. So they're trying to say that they're actually. It's weird the way they're doing it, but that's another thing that's been happening in the financial markets this week. So,
double Irish with a Dutch sandwich.
Yeah.
That's the one. So, I'm just making sure I wasn't going to say something wrong, because maybe if you Googled it, you might come up with some more suspect type of websites. I think that's a topic for the G20, obviously that summit coming up in November. I think a lot of countries are looking to close some of those loopholes, Australia being one of them, that they've got overseas manufacturers, you know, a la Apple, in the country that are selling things, but all the profits seem to, you know, disappear out. Tax isn't, high level tax isn't collected, and I guess everyone wants to take their piece.
Yeah. So there's been rumours of America giving them a grace period to bring money back. So it might all work out good for them anyway, because they'll go, oh, Europe wants all this money, so we'll just take it back to America and pay less than what we've got to pay in Europe anyway with the grace period in the States. They might still win. Win better than we do anyway.
Well, that's right. And obviously it's in, may not be in the US's interest to get, say, Apple to repatriate a lot of that money. And I'm sure there's already been some of that occurring with incentives over, you know, where they're manufacturing in the US and building factories there now.
Yeah.
So it would be, well, bring back your money, and if you go and spend it in setting up some new manufacturing, et cetera, you know, you'll pay a lower tax rate. So yeah. I guess a little bit more to be seen on that.
So yeah, and it's keeping in the European area, the iPhone 6 ads in England are just slightly different than they are in the States. And they've got...
Well, surely they'd have to be better than the ones we've got here, wouldn't they? They're terrible. I mean, Apple normally have good ads. I mean, they're the worst Apple ads I have seen.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially that... the current one on's not so bad, but I guess they set off a low bar with the... that first ad with the guys humming was just... Yeah, I thought quite poor.
Yeah. Well, we don't know who wrote it, do we? Was it one of the big ad companies, or was it the in-house Apple one?
That's the thing I'm wondering, because there's been this talk, hasn't there, around the last 12 months or so about Apple bringing in-house their advertising. And it's almost, well, so far you've been able to pick the ads that Apple have produced in-house, and you'd almost bet that this is another one of them.
Yeah. But, the English ones, good, again, good for laugh with Chris O'Dowd and Richard Ayoade. Pronouncing his name correctly, I hope.
The dudes from the IT crowd.
Yeah. So if you know the show, you know what they're like. And there's minor differences in the ads, but as the news article I read said, the most glaring example showed a major difference between two cultures. In the UK ad, Ayoade brags about eating a massive Arctic roll loaded with 540 calories, while in America, Fallon consumes a 1,200 calorie funnel cake. So they expect that the Americans would simply say, well, 540 calories isn't that bad. So, and if you want to see the ads, you've got to go over to the UK. So it's apple.co, not .com, and have a look at the ads over there. One's called Duo and one's called Health, but just a little bit of humor thrown in there. So.
And again, probably better than the ones that we're seeing here.
Do you remember seeing the English ads, like the Windows and Mac and I'm a Mac ads? The English ones with David Mitchell and his partner there.
Yeah, I can picture them. Yes, yeah, because they're in different ones there, and they were quite good. Yeah. And the American ones were. We're good as well, but
I prefer UK comedy anyway, so it's I'm biased, of course. But yeah, so it's good to see they're still going with different cultures. I wonder if they make ones for Brazil or China, or that have to keep an eye on that with the one China coming up. So
yeah, well, is that Friday? Yeah, it's Friday, yeah, isn't it? Friday. The phone's in China, yeah. And I think 30 odd countries, isn't
30
it?
30 more, yeah. So, and it's still got plenty of, even because we had the pre-order story about that had like 6.5 million pre-orders or something, and now then they went to official orders and they did 1 million in 2.5 hours or something. So we've got a feeling that there's going to be a fair few. If you add them up to the first day, the American day, like that first weekend, America, Australia, it's going to be a lot more than 10 million, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think they've obviously got supply ramped up, because there doesn't seem to be, I mean, whilst you might not be able to just walk in and grab the exact phone you're after, there certainly doesn't seem to be the discussion and wait as there has been in previous years with getting phones.
Yeah.
Just having a look at the moment off the Apple website. What's that saying now for phone?
I've just started doing public transport at the moment.
Oh yeah,
and I'm astounded at how many people have got phones, and how many are Apple products, whether it's an iPad or an iPhone that they're watching their videos on, or just doing stuff on it. Since I really got into public transport a long time ago, it's a big difference.
What do you think? What are you seeing out there now? So what would be the dominant handset out there?
Definitely Apple. Definitely. I would have said better than 60-40 still.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's like Apple and everyone else, as opposed to say an iPhone.
Yeah.
Six, or iPhone 5 or 6 versus a Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far.
Just
any Nokias?
Not that I saw. and I'm certainly there's lots of demographics with all the sort of same sort of mix, to be absolutely honest. Because it sort of interests me. I keep looking and just keep looking around and seeing who they are, where they get on the train, where they're getting off a train, all that sort of stuff. And all you can see it.
What's been your experience with tablets? Would tablets be even more dominated by iPad?
Yeah, just thinking the last.
I reckon like out and about when you see it, like, 3 or 4 years ago, it was pretty much everyone had iPhones. Now, I would still say it's a single, obviously handset iPhone is, by far and away the single most common handset, but you do see a lot of Samsungs and out there now.
Yeah.
But even people then that they'll have their Samsung phone, they'll still have an iPad. I don't see too many other tablets.
No.
Some crazy people are trying to persist with these Microsoft ones. I guess after they've spent that amount of money on them, I guess they have to convince themselves that they're worthwhile. But probably from what I've seen, when you meet vendors and other people, that it would be 90-95% iPads in the tablet space.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone who's just been out. Just another little side bit, on a little lecture tour to IT people, and it's been discussing some interest in the Windows tablet, but they're basically like Apple's. They're exchange. They're not. There's nothing to repair on them. You just yes, it's not working, send it back to Microsoft. But Microsoft are apparently on a 7 to 14 day turnaround, where you can't just take, you can't go into the Apple store and swap it on the spot. So,
well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's the experience, the ecosystem, the support. I mean, it's all that wrapped up together, isn't it? It's not just here's a piece of hardware, good luck with that type of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, if you've gone, oh, yeah, all right, well, my iPad doesn't quite do what I think I want it to do, but something's gone wrong, and you've actually had the experience of getting it changed on the spot, and then something goes wrong with your Windows tablet after a period of time, and you've got to wait 7 to 14 days. That's a lot of a lack of production of whatever you were doing on it. That's taken with those 7 to 14 days, isn't it? As opposed to maybe 2 days, one day to make the booking and one day to go into the Apple store.
Yeah, exactly right. And
so all those little things must make it really hard for Microsoft to catch up, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just looking on the site here now with the phones. So the six is 7 to 10 days. Looks pretty much for all models and colors.
Yeah.
And the 6 Plus is 3 to 4 weeks still. Though I'm pretty sure if you're going to buy it on contract, you can probably walk into, well, if it's not your Apple store, certainly, JB Hi-Fi or a Telstra shop or Optus or Vodafone if you're that way inclined, and pick up a handset. And I think even with the Apple stores, if you keep an eye on I think they get stock in every day. I think you can reserve yourself a Posi, can't you, and probably snap one up fairly quickly still.
Yeah, it'd be, but still, you think, are they still making phones, do you think, or are they making iPads now? Like, in the factory, what are they making? Or, you know, with another 22 countries? Like,
yeah, it's going to be a busy time in the North Pole for a little else, isn't it? Churning away their eye devices. Well, and of course, at some stage, you're going to have to start making watches as well.
Yeah. Maybe they've got some Swiss outfit doing that. It's been in all the fashion shows again. So
they had some out in the wild, didn't they? Was that in France or somewhere like that?
They had the French fashion show. Paris fashion shows.
Yes, that's
one,
it.
One of the stores there, they had some out in the wild that people could, again, they were still in.
The hands of minders, weren't they? Can sort of look, but don't touch or touch then, too much.
Yeah, yeah. And then on the front cover of the Chinese Vanity magazine, I think it's been on there. So it's really, it's not like it's been in Rugby League Week or anything yet. So.
Well, they've certainly pushed it as, fashion accessory.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's been, again, in that whole thing that makes up what Apple is, that's part of the appeal, isn't it? It's the aesthetics. It's the, as a fashion type icon, even that's been the case for the desktops, laptops through to the, portable type devices. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's why we're such classy people and like the listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we've had challenges, what else has been happening? Haven't we? A couple of challenges there. Getting hacked off a bit now, I think it's the right thing to say.
There's more and more of it. So if it's not, it's either a site being hacked or it's more, retailers being hacked and, credit cards being disclosed. I think there was another one in the US this week with Target, and in the world of website, Dropbox and Snapchat. Though the Snapchat one, I was reading a little on that today, doesn't seem to be that Snapchat itself was hacked. There was a third-party app, I think Snap saved, that was breached, and I think that's actually a site that doesn't operate anymore.
Yeah.
But whoever operated it still had the servers there, and I believe he still had a Facebook page and came out and confirmed that was the case. There is some dispute as to how much data. It was, 13 gig? Yeah. And someone else was saying, no, it was nowhere near that amount. But apparently it was put up on the Pirate Bay.
It's weird too, because whoever was quote the original hacker said, I'm not going to release any of this information.
And then he did.
And yeah, just on that also, I think there's two apps, one called Snap Save and one Snap Saved. Two similar name apps that do the same sort of thing. So we think there's some tie up there, and that's, and apparently Snapchat don't even like you using third-party apps. As you can tell, I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
For a good reason.
Yeah.
So I would say that there was comments around that people would download and looked at it, obviously, to see. Snapchat famously is probably around selfies and probably a lot of nude selfies.
Yes.
That they reckon there wasn't much of interest. It was boring pictures of people. but probably a thing is that I probably wouldn't go looking for that. If you also think of the people that are using Snapchat, probably a lot of teenagers. And obviously if people under the age of 18 are taking naked pictures of themselves, that comes under child pornography. So you probably wouldn't want to be downloading that, because you would find yourself in the possession of that type of material, I would suggest.
Yeah, that was on one of the... I think it was one of the Twit Network ones I was listening to the other day, and they were saying that anyone that even releases the hacked information like this guy has apparently done is breaking the law.
Well, I guess it's all linked, isn't it? Because where do you say that it stops? So,
well, he's supplying child porn to the internet, isn't he? If that's the case, if there's any there that are like that, like
allegedly,
yeah. So, Dropbox denies it was hacked.
Yeah, that ought,
7 million username and passwords are leaked, but. You don't know how old they are, but do you? That's the other challenge, isn't it? They might be last year's usernames and passwords. So,
yeah, but still interesting nonetheless as to where they've come from.
Yeah, yeah. But do they, like I'll show my ignorance here, spam emails, they just get massive amounts of email addresses and send it from one address to another address. Because I got a couple this week were from me and to me, and it had nothing to do with anything that I would send myself. And just astounds me how many there are out there. And so how much faster the internet would be if we didn't have spam, because there's massive amounts of email floating around. So are people just tying, you know, that 7 million, maybe 6.1 million is just where people have put words next to email addresses and said, oh, here's passwords and go for it. Like, are they just making it up or are they real? Or
yeah, we're just having a look here. That's obviously it's still very, very current because there seems to be some to-ing and fro-ing here with people coming out with information and Dropbox keep coming out and saying, no, we haven't been hacked. We haven't been hacked. It's, you know, it's probably credible that they at this stage, you know, with what Dropbox are saying, because when some of the passwords that are coming out are things like Junior 33 or password with fives as the S's, which could indicate the saying a brute force type attack, against weak passwords, against, maybe no one email lists. And, these were posted up at pastebin.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Dropbox are advising people to look to change your Dropbox passwords and to set up two-factor authentication. And, obviously, as we are aware in the Apple world around the benefit of that, wherever you can use that, it's obviously a much stronger method. And, again, you don't need to... be the fastest or the best, you just need to not be the slowest. So again, if you've got if you've got two factors set up, there's lots of people that haven't and are obviously much easier pickings. It looks like they're still developing news around that one, that every time Dropbox come out and refute something and say something, they release more accounts. But again, you know, it's hard to say where that
where they come from,
whether it's a hack or whether they have been brute forced. Dropbox are saying the majority of the passwords posted have expired for some time. And all the ones that they've been posted so far, they have expired them. So, which is good. I mean, Dropbox are obviously keeping an eye on this and doing the right thing by keeping people updated and proactively doing what they can.
Unlike some of the retail breaches where they didn't say anything for 6 or 7 months. So makes it very, very challenging. So I haven't heard it happening in Australia yet. Does that just mean that they're quiet or they're smarter or we're not a big enough market?
probably not a big enough market, one would guess.
So another bit of interesting news is 1 million people have signed up to test OS 10. Sorry, that should read Windows OS 10, which is Windows' new operating system that they've released, and getting different reports about it, some confusing reports and some there's been a few changes with it. And they're updating it fairly regularly. So when they hear enough noise about a particular issue, it does get updated pretty quickly. But I can't find out how many people actually signed up for the Yosemite beta. I haven't been able to get an exact number just to, as a comparison.
I'd suggest it passed the million because I don't think that anyone who did sign up was denied from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, maybe Microsoft have come onto something here that you just sort of just have a dynamic operating system. It will be driven by like crowdfunding. You have a crowd OS, and there's nightly updates in the operating system. Actually changes from day to day depending on tweets and social media comments.
Yeah, maybe
an interesting approach.
might be known as the Reddit operating system, where that. Something gets voted up tonight and something will get voted up tomorrow night.
Oh, that's right. I used to be able to have network drives, but people didn't like that. So then they come the next day they're all gone now.
Yeah. We've just changed the name of our live drive to no longer a live drive.
Yes.
But it's good to see them trying something new. Hopefully it'll get rid of the bit of confusion that's still hanging around with the Windows 8.
Well, they're listening to their customers and that can't be a bad thing. Yeah. I guess I've just got to listen to the right people.
Well, if you've got a million, the chances are you're going to have a reasonable, the opinion list will be fairly correct about what people experience as issues or don't like or... Yeah, I can't imagine they'd just be a million people specifically say, I want the start button back. You know?
No, I think it might be a little bit more scientific than that.
Yeah, but it's good to see. It's good to see. I wish them all the best. We want a really good operating system to keep Apple on their toes.
Exactly.
It's working right in the phone world, so we really want it to...
Yeah,
continue in the desktop world.
So just on that, as we look to wrap up, the other iPad rumor around, especially the big iPad, was an iPad that's going to run iOS and OS 10.
Yes.
What do you make of that?
Oh, I couldn't imagine that happening. Not yet. I wouldn't have thought. I would have thought it's still a bit early but I still can't see any use for it. But what do I know? You know, like,
it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense because OS 10 is a desktop operating system. It's not a touch operating system.
Yeah.
And if you have a 13 inch screen and put a keyboard with it, it's a MacBook Air. So, we've already got those.
Yeah.
And,
But it probably costs more. You know, like you say, we've already got a 13-inch MacBook Air or 11-inch MacBook Air, which is just a big iPad, but costs more. Like the iPad, I would think, would cost more than the MacBook Air. Bigger size with a keyboard and...
Most probably. And be interesting what... processor it would then run.
Yeah.
Because
must have to run the AMD, won't it?
The ARM one.
Yeah, sorry. not AMD.
But how does that architecture work with, at the moment OS 10, and it has been for 10 years now, has been on Intel. So it may run on ARM, but you start getting all the subtleties, around performance and functionality there that, at the moment apps and the architecture is around an Intel environment. So, I think it would probably be asking for trouble that, the operating system may work, but you'll have weird things happening with apps. And why would, I don't see don't see the benefit of, if you need a keyboard to use it, you may as well get a MacBook Air, and it would probably be cheaper because the hardware can be optimized for the particular environment.
Yeah, yeah. And It's such a challenge to like. We can understand the specific reasons why Apple were went to Intel in the first place, because that G5 development was just disappearing at IBM, and even though they're still kicking on with it, it's not fast enough to compete with Intel at the time. But then we've got you have to wonder, because we've got the Intel issues at the moment where their chips have been delayed. So we believe that's why Apple hasn't been able to release new machines.
Yeah, that's true as well. So
are they getting jacked off at that so that they're ready to go with another?
Go with ARM and
again, running classic mode.
Have the whole, that's it. I own the whole, you know, end-to-end hardware line.
Yeah, it's very hard to, like, if the reason we haven't had Macs is the delays with the Haswell chip we're waiting for at the moment.
We are, yes.
Yeah, you know, if that's 4 months behind schedule, that's a big thing for Apple, isn't it? Because they rely on it so much to be there.
Yes, I suspect. All's obviously going to be revealed in a few days' time when we hear what is released, and maybe that will put some of that speculation to rest. But if that's holding back the hardware, that's not going to make anyone happy.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just thinking too, with the if Yosemite is released during the week. In this coming week, please remember to do a good backup before you do an upgrade.
You probably want a full backup rather than, I mean, Time Machine's good. Probably more from a document by document basis, because it's got point in time recoveries. But if you're looking to recover your whole system at once, I think something like Super Duper or
Carbon Copy. Yeah. Both good programs.
And not very expensive either. I think SuperDuper is still free, isn't it? If you just want to do one off backup.
Yeah. It's a big challenge, isn't it? But for the sake of
certainly less than $200, I still reckon pick up a 4 gig external USB drive. So, you know, for the investment of around $200, it's saves a lot of pain that if something went wrong.
Yeah. Simple as, very simple, straightforward. I personally got Time Machine backups going all the time, but even, you know, it's enough to, the reason I bring it up today is for bigger clients, Apple actually have special training days where the IT people go in and learn how to transition machines from Mavericks to Yosemite that are coming up. And so I just think people should back up, please. Just do a backup before you do the upgrade. It makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
And for those that may want to make a bootable USB drive of Yosemite, generally what happens is there's a program that gets downloaded into your applications folder called Upgrade to Yosemite. It's been upgraded to Mavericks or I think previously was the name of the program. If you download it, then make a copy of that to another folder, not just move it, but copy it to another folder and then run it. You'll at least have a backup that you can then add to a USB stick later on and boot off if you have to.
Yeah, that's very handy to have.
Yeah, because it after you've double clicked it in your applications folder and it does that particular sort of upgrade, it wipes itself out, even takes the receipt and everything away. So very hard to go and get again.
Yeah, just go and grab it before It installs itself, and again, for the sake of probably $20 or something, you can go and get yourself a 16 gig USB and just have that in your bag of goodies, just in case one day something happens. It's you've got it there, and I guess having that USB with the operating system along with a backup, you can recover yourself if the worst should happen.
Yeah. When 10.7 first came out, which is what introduced this particular way of upgrading, I thought I was being really clever because I double-clicked it and went to work, left my machine running. And then that's when we realized it actually wiped itself off the face of the earth from your machine. So then I used my Time Machine backup, got to the point between when it downloaded and when it started to do the upgrade, and got my Time Machine backup and got it off there. So I was lucky, but... yeah. Otherwise, you've got to download it again.
And they're obviously going to be of reasonable size, maybe even bigger than the 5 gig needed for the iOS upgrade.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's big week coming. We should have plenty to talk about next week.
Absolutely. Okay, we might wrap up there with all of our speculation predictions for just a few days' time, and we'll be able to see next week how right we were.
Yes. Yeah. And Glenn's not going to this one. I think he's back here now, so I think he's stuck with having to watch it like the rest of us.
Absolutely. Back with us common folk. And, of course, Glenn and everyone are back on Thursday night for Aussie Tech Heads.
Yep.
And we'll be back next Tuesday night with a action-packed Aussie Mac Zone once again, full of new Apple goodies.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you then.
Yeah. Thank you. Have fun.